Just lift up your hand as a sign that you're excited, really excited to be in the house of God. Not like this, but I said lift it up high. Yes, I can see that. Yes. It is good to see your faces. We thank the Lord for the rains. Amen. We desperately needed the rains, and the Lord has been faithful. He brought them powerfully since yesterday, I believe, since yesterday. And we thank God even for remembering us. We were too hot, and it's just a refreshing thing, you know, just to have consistent rains throughout the night. And we are blessed. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. This coming week, as you all know, the Kenyan mission begins. And so we are going to be in prayer, praying for Sister Noel and everybody who is participating. We have pastors, nurses, doctors that will be giving, volunteering their time to serve the Lord even in the city of Nyahururu. So this week, if you can, please, I'd like you to take a few days, you know, go before the mountain of the Lord, and cry out to the Lord on behalf of the ministry that will be going there so that it's going to be well. Pray for our sister even as she ministers, and the other, Pastor Wilson, also as he ministers, and it is going to be well. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, I'm excited this morning to bring the word of the Lord. The Lord has been so kind to me and my family, and to be honest with you, I'm just enjoying a fellowship with God every single day. Praise God. And that should be the desire of every member of the body of Christ, that we should enjoy and learn and understand the reason why we are here on earth. The walk with God is not just a straight line whereby everything goes and everything works out for you. Sometimes we may have to go down the valleys. We may have to climb mountains. And we may have sometimes to go through some misery sometimes, some things that we don't understand why they happen. But I believe those things are part of the package. Praise God. When we go through difficult things in life, it just emphasizes in our lives the need to serve the Lord. Do you know what? It is part of the package. And so I'm excited, you know, about what the Lord is doing in our family, and I'm excited what God is doing among us. I can sense a wind of revival just moving across the different various ministries that we have in the church, in the women's ministry, in the couples ministry, you know, in the worship, in the Sunday school. I'm excited, and we need to rejoice knowing that it is God that is at hand and at work within us. Praise the Lord. But even when everything is going flashy and everything is going good, at that particular time, we need to be careful because, you know, when we think that we stand, we can fall. Praise the Lord. So we need to really be on our knees at this particular moment so that we can intercede for each other, care for each other, pray for each other, and carry the burden of one another. Praise the Lord. Because that is a commandment that the Lord gave us when he ascended to be in heaven. He sent out and he said, this is the commandment that I give you. And it's a commandment that is above all commandments, that we ought to love one another. Praise the Lord. To care for one another. And even as we go along, we are going to exhibit and activate that principle even to one another, and it's going to be so powerful even as we go along caring for one another, calling somebody, wanting to know how they are doing. It is such a powerful thing. I just want to bring the word of God from the book of Exodus, chapter number 15. How many of you have your Bibles? Can I see your Bibles? Wave your Bibles to the Lord. Okay, put them down. How many of you don't have Bibles today? Just lift up your hand. Be honest. How many of you didn't bring your Bibles? Okay. Lift up your hand. You know what? The Lord bless you for your honesty. Okay, next time you come to church, bring a Bible, okay? And if you can't afford a Bible, come and see me. We'll get you one. It is always good to bring a Bible when you come into the house of God. Bring a notebook too, because, you know, as you hear the word of the Lord, there are some things that the Spirit of God will be inspiring into your mind, and you need to jot those things down. Down the road, you remember some of the things that we speak here, because you know what? I'm just a carrier of this message. Anybody who stands on this pulpit is a carrier of this message. Praise the Lord. And in the course of sharing this word, the Spirit of God takes it and imprints it into your mind or into your heart. And you need to put it down so that down the road you remember it, will be beneficial to you. So bring a notebook, bring a Bible, and the Lord is going to bless you. Exodus chapter number 20. I think we're going to read from verse number 20. And I think we are going to go up to verse number 26. Exodus chapter number 15 and verse number 20. And this is what the word of the Lord says. Then Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with the timbrels and with the dances. 21. And Miriam answered them, "Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea." So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. And when he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them. And he said, "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought to the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you." Praise be to God. Then they came, verse number 27, then they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. So they camped there by the waters. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we check out this text that you laid into my spirit, Lord, even to bring to us this day, I submit myself, Lord, even to the counsel of the Holy Spirit. Lord, use me this day as an instrument, Father, to deliver your word to us. We are hungry. We want to be satisfied. We are thirsty. We want our thirst to be quenched, oh God. I pray that you shall open up our inner ears so that we may hear what the Spirit is speaking to us this day. Father, I pray that I seize every spirit, every heart today, and hold it captive to the alertness of the Holy Ghost right now. That, Father God, we shall hear what the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to us this day. I pray that your word will bring profit and a benefit to us, that we may walk right and that we may walk pleasing you, and we may walk a blameless walk even before your presence. Father, we exalt you, and you are in our midst this day. We honor you for your presence. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody say amen. Amen. Now, this is a very familiar text. I know most of us have read the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus talks about the children of Israel coming out of the land of captivity. And you all know about the deliverance that took place, you know, in Egypt, how God prepared Moses. Moses was prepared, and actually he sat into the house of Pharaoh, and he grew up there. And a time came whereby he had to be sent out of the house of Pharaoh into the wilderness, whereby he had to go take care of sheep. And a time came when the Lord, just in the wilderness, in his day-to-day business, God comes upon Moses, and he speaks to him through a burning bush, and he speaks to him about, he gives him the responsibility to go into Egypt to deliver the children of Israel. And you know how the story went. And Moses doubts the Lord, and he feels he is in a position of feeling incapable of handling the task that the Lord had given him. And the Lord reassures him by telling him, you know what, at this very place that I speak to you, you know, it will be an ordinance. You put down a sacrifice. You guys, after I send you to Egypt, you will deliver the children of Israel, and you will come to this Mount Horeb, and you will offer a sacrifice. I am sending you as a great I am. I will be with you. I will counsel you. I will give you the boldness. I will give you the strength. So, and we find Moses going into Egypt and delivering the children of Israel. And as they are coming out of Egypt, there are several things that they encounter. And one of the greatest, I believe one of the greatest greatest experiences that we read in the Bible of God's majesty, the display of his majesty being displayed in the entire world, is when he separates the Red Sea. You know, it is just an extraordinary miracle that took place at that particular day. And as they are coming, they are being pursued by the Egyptians, and they are coming to the close to the edge of the Red Sea. And the Lord speaks to Moses, and he lifts us his rod, and the sea parts and separates. And the children of Israel are walking on dry land, and God puts a wall of fire to separate them from their pursuers. God was leading the children of Israel to some place. Praise be to God. And as he separates the Red Sea, and this miracle happens before their own eyes, and they're witnesses of this dramatic force taking place in the ocean, the walls creating a big wall so that it creates a dry land, and they're walking on the dry ground in the sea. And as they are walking, the Lord lifts up the wall of fire, and the pursuers keep on pursuing them. And they are just about to cross the other side, and the last member of the camp is just crossed over into the Red Sea, and their pursuers with their chariots and their horses pursuing them. And the children of Israel are witnesses of this magnificent display. Praise the Lord. What a wonderful experience that we sometimes encounter the move of God in our lives, and we are left in awe struck. God leads us into experiences whereby with no shadow of doubt we know, were it not for God, there could be no other force that could have done that, were it not for God. I wonder how many of you have been in a place whereby you are squeezed between a hard rock and a hard place, and you cried out to God, and God magnificently came into your situation and pulled you out. And you know, he pulled you out and put you in a place whereby you are able to see the things that happened, and with no shadow of doubt, you are able to say, God, if it were not for you, I would never have been delivered. How many people have been in such a place? I've been in such a place, you know, like that many, many times, whereby I was squeezed between a hard rock and a hard place. And when I looked on my left, when I looked on my right, when I looked on my rear, there was no other option. The only option was the Lord to come by himself and pull me out of that quagmire. And when he picked me up and put me in a certain place and later beheld on what was going on, I'm able to give him the glory. And this is exactly what happened to the children of Israel. And the shadow that was cast on this experience was later to be experienced on the cross. The greatest deliverance ever in the face of the universe, when Jesus was to be manifest in a human form and at an age of 33 years carried on his ministry, but he had an agenda. His agenda was to go to the cross to deliver you and to deliver me. Oh, praise be to God. That great experience has cast a shadow of the greatest miracle that was to take place on this universe, whereby there will be a trading of some sort, whereby he would trade my sin into a citizenry of the land called heaven. Praise be to God. You are once a sinner, but the moment you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, he came and delivered you and saved you, and he picked you up from the place where you are, and he moved you across the other side of life. Praise be to God. The greatest training that there has ever been is for Jesus to become sin. He became sin so that I would not be punished. He became sin so that I would not taste the wrath of God. Praise be to God. And the Bible says that when he was on the cross, between the sixth and the ninth hour, darkness came, hovered over all over the earth. And when Jesus beckoned that he became sin, you know, for the sake of all humanity, he cried out. He lifted up a cry unto his Father. He said, "Father, Father, why have you deserted me?" Praise be to God. It is one thing for us to, and very important for us to understand that, you know, what Jesus, when you have seen Jesus, you have seen the Father. And he says, you know what, you cannot come to the Father except by me. And he speaks to his disciples in his telling them. They're asking questions. They're saying, "Show us the Father and we'll be satisfied." And Jesus speaks unto them and he tells them, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. In other words, there has been an intricate fellowship between the Son, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. They are one. Jesus never experienced a time where he was separated with his Father. But between the sixth and the ninth hour, he cried out and he said, "Father, Father, why have you forsaken me?" And at that particular moment, there was a training that was taking place. Jesus got into the kingdom of the enemy, and he was plucking us out by the numbers. He was saying, "Even you don't belong here. Get out. You don't belong here. Get out. You don't belong here. Get out. You belong to me." And he was drawing everybody to himself. Praise be to God. And now he says that everybody that you've drawn to me, everybody that is attracted to me, everybody that is connected to me, nobody can snatch them away from my presence. Oh, glory to Jesus. I want you to know. Now, the moment you accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, no power, no death, no fire, no winds, no nothing under the, no power of any element under the sun can separate you from the love of God. You are completely connected. You may not feel it, but you are connected. Glory be to Jesus. Sometimes we are looking for the big experiences, but I want you to know that you don't have to feel it to know that you are completely connected. And not even the power of the devil can come to separate you from the love of Christ. Oh, glory be to Jesus. And so, as Moses, Isaiah, he is leading. They are coming out of the Red Sea, and they have crossed over to the other side. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, and he said, "It is time for you to see the annihilation of your enemies, your pursuers, the Egyptians. These Egyptians that you see, you will see them no more. They trusted in their chariots to pursue you. They trusted in their money to pursue you. They trusted in their horses to chase after you. But this that you have seen, trusting men, horses, trusting men, your pursuers, this day you will see them no more." Today, I am here to put it across to you, children of God, that it doesn't matter the enormity or the size of your enemy. But the enemy, if only you can have confidence in God, you can look at your enemy at your eye. Glory be to Jesus. No wonder David, facing Goliath. He looked at Goliath, a man of great height, a man who was clothed and clad with the items of war. And he looked at him at the eye and he told him, "This uncircumcised Philistine." Glory be to Jesus. That has brought a disaster and has brought a fear among the camp of the children of God. This one here, you will see him no more. In his heart he knew that, you know what, it doesn't matter who I am, but I carry a greater one that overrules and looks over the affairs of the earth. So you have the capability to look at your enemy and you can address them and you can tell them, "This enemy that I'm looking at right now is nothing but dust." Because in you lives one who is greater. In you lives the one who has the solutions to every problem here on earth. In you lives the author and the finisher of your very life. Praise be to God. And as they are coming out of the Red Sea, Moses looks at their pursuers. They are really coming so fast this time. And as they begin to come down, the Lord caused their wheels to begin to unwind from their hooks. And the wheels begin to tear apart. And their chariots begin to tear apart miraculously. And the Lord spoke to Moses and he said, lift up your rod. And you know the experience, the sea came together. And their enemies that were pursuing them. One no more. Glory be to Jesus. What would you say if you just witnessed such an experience? Would that not build up your faith and say, you know what, if God did this for me, then I'll be able to face him in the next situation? Because for your information, if you're a child of God, you know, life, once you are done with one experience, it might be a fiery furnace that you have been put on. Be prepared to face the next one. But you know, the confidence that I have to face the next one is that the Jehovah God, the great I am, who was able to deliver me in the previous one, I am able to trust him on the next one. And it doesn't matter the enormity, the size of the next handle that I'm going to jump. I have this confidence. God brings these items to us so that we can build our confidence, because God wants us to depend upon him consistently. The natural instinct in a man's heart, Brother William, is we feel that we can do it. How many of us feel like sometimes, you know what, oh, you know, I got this, you know? Especially in America, people have this tendency, you want to help them to do something, say, oh, don't worry, I got it. And you know, in reality, they don't got it. They don't even have it. But they say, oh, you know, can I help? You know, somebody has a load of so many things and he's going almost like crumbling down. And you just want to extend the right hand of fellowship. Oh, can I help you? Oh, no, don't worry, I got it. Man, just dying there with his loads. He says, I got it. We have this mentality where we feel that we can do it. But the Lord knows he is the one who created us. He put us together. He knows our structure. He knows our context. He knows what we are made of. And so God wants us to depend upon him consistently. He wants us to depend him on a single day. And that's why he says, do not worry about tomorrow. Because tomorrow will do what? Huh? Yeah, tomorrow's trouble. Don't worry about tomorrow's trouble. Because tomorrow's trouble, God will come in a different way. Because you know what? If you get used in how God operated or worked out in a certain problem, you might be in great trouble. Because God doesn't always work the same way. God will work in a certain way in this problem to get you out of that problem. But the next time you're faced with a different problem, God might work it out differently. So God wants us to have a revelation that I am new every single day. I want you to know that I will bring freshness. My mercy are new every morning. I don't want you to depend upon, you know, used secondhand masses. I use those masses to deal with that problem. But now that you're handling this problem, I want you to know that I will bring new mercy. Praise be to God. And I am so excited that when they complained about food in the desert, God told Moses that I am going to rain bread from heaven. And how many of you remember what he told them? That every single one of you has to go out and take a measure for that particular day. But how many of you know that not all of them obeyed? There are some of them who said, they gather everything. I don't know how it's going to be tomorrow. And they gather everything. But the Bible says that those who gathered to store for tomorrow, what happened to the manna? It turned into, there were maggots and worms that were investing into those things. Why? Why? Do you think that it was that God was not able to preserve the manna for the next day? No, do you think God was not able to preserve that manna even for the next day? He was, right? But he wanted them to depend upon him on a daily basis. He didn't want them to get used to his presence. Church, listen to me. We are in a church in the body of Christ, and I'm not talking about Empowerment Christian Center. We have the church in some part of the church, some people, some members of the body of Christ are in a dangerous zone. You are in a dangerous zone when you get used to the presence of God.
When we get used to his presence, oh, you know what? I'm just going to church because it is a Sunday. I'm just going to Friday, Thursday Bible study because it is the day when we go up for Bible study. I just have to go to pray. We got to pray for this food because I saw my mother, my grandfather. I have seen it has been passed on. It's a generational thing. So we have to pray for the food. It is a dangerous thing when we become mechanical in handling the presence of God. Church, are you listening to me? But God wants us to have brand new experiences every single day. God wants to renew us. All glory to Jesus. He restoreth my soul. He leads me into paths of righteousness. He is able to restore my soul on a single basis. Are you listening to me, church? It is a dangerous thing. Let us not be men and women who get used to we are so mechanical. You know what? Sometimes when you're on a table, and if I'm so hungry, you know what? I don't get into it. If I'm hungry, I'm going to start eating. Okay, now I know I lost most of you in that area particularly. But you know what? What I'm trying to say, I don't want to be religious. Because you know what? I can thank God even when I'm eating. Thank you, Lord, even for this food. And I'm chewing and I'm thanking God. And I'm thanking God. If I do that in your homes, you know, some of you would start rebuking the devil. I rebuke the devil. In other words, we need to really, when you're in tune with the Holy Spirit, he leads and guides you and protects you. I don't know what this Julius was telling us the other day. He was telling us that as long as you are born again, your highway is led of the Lord. Nothing happens by mistake. Are you listening to me? As long as you're born again Christian, listen to me now, man, you can take this to the bank. As long as you're born again Christian, the Lord leads your way. He guides you. Okay, I can see now you're not believing me. When they crossed the Red Sea, this is exactly what happened. The Lord spoke unto Moses, and he told him, you know what, I'm going to be your guide. And the Lord brought a pillar of cloud by day. Because it was in a desert place. How many of you have been into a desolate area where there are no trees and you can see as far as your eyes can see? I had an experience, you know, sometime this year to drive across Arizona, and let me tell you, that place is a desert place. You can look as far as you can see, and you can see mountains, you know, miraging on the distance, and you can hardly see. It's just rocks and rocks and rocks, and so. They didn't have a position whereby they could orientate themselves. They could easily be disoriented. And so they needed something to guide them. And God provided a pillar of cloud, that would lead and direct them. So they would go following the cloud, the pillar of cloud by day. Praise the Lord. I also believe that this cloud shielded them even from the rays of the sun, and they followed it. They followed wherever it took. It meandered in the desert, and they followed it. They followed it. They followed it. And the Bible says also at night, what happened at night? There was a pillar of fire. You know what? I read that scripture so slowly, and it says that they continued also to walk at night. That is why God provided a pillar of fire by night. And I said, okay, this is where the Americans got their analogy. This is why America is one of the most productive country in the world, because it is a 24-hour cycle kind of a state, kind of a country whereby they don't stop working. Praise be to God. God expects us to be at work consistently 24/7. That means even when you're asleep, you are at work. That means even when you are during the day, you are at work serving the Lord. Do you know that, you know, you could be praying before you go to bed? You could pray prayers that would be working over the night on your behalf. Did you know that? Okay, don't lift up your hands. How many people pray at night before they go to bed? Don't lift up your hand. How many of you, when you're so tired, you just sleep on your bed and you cover and you're gone? Don't even remember to tell God, God, thank you for this day. Lord, you have been so faithful. You protected me. Now, listen, church. Whether you know it or you don't know it, there are forces in the heavenly realms that are released on a daily basis, actually on a consistent basis, minute by minute, to come and destroy you. Were it not for the hand of God protecting you, Why not for the angels of God that come and shield you from harm? We would not even be here. If the devil would be us, none of us would be here. There's consistent war that takes place in a realm that we cannot see by our physical eyes. But the Lord ensures that we are protected. And that's why we are in this place, because we have been under the surveillance and the protection of God. Hallelujah. God provides his GPS. I know most of you have used the GPS, whenever, especially when you want to go to arrive at a destination which you don't know. You put the address on that GPS, and if it's by the twilight of time, you know, if it's drawing towards the evening, that GPS will tell you and lead you to where you want to go. Now, what happens when the darkness comes? Some of your GPS changes, right? They have put a signal in there to sense the daylight, and so it switches and throws in some light on the GPS screen so that you might be in the very, very dark area, but the GPS is still directing you. Praise be to God. So in the dark places and in the dark corners and in the dark areas where you may not even be cognizant or aware of where you're going, the GPS still knows where the streets are. Why? Because it is communicating with a higher GPS that does not really care whether it is day or night. As a matter of fact, when the GPS is up there, it is day all the time. Praise be to God. And that's how the Lord is doing to us. When you're a child of God, his GPS leads you into every corner. Even in dark moments when you don't even know whether God is near you, he is leading you. Praise be to God. He is guiding you. Hallelujah. And sometimes we arrive at situations that are not pleasant to us. And we begin to complain and wonder, is God still in my life? Is God still leading me? Is he still guiding me in the things that I want to achieve? Because you might be, probably you might be pursuing a certain career, and you are at it, and God has sent you divine connections. But you arrive at a certain place where everything seemed to not work. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You arrive at a position whereby everything doesn't make any sense. The counsel of your friends don't make any sense. Your mind don't make any sense. The members of your family don't make any sense regarding that issue. But that doesn't mean that God is lost in the misery. God is still in the deal. Praise be to God. He is still in the deal. Because the Bible says that, you know what? He led them by the pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And now the Bible says that they went for 3 days. 3 days without water. Now this was a question of life and death. I hear medical people tell us, or you know through experience, that if you go without water for 3 days, prepare yourself to meet your maker or something. You can die without water, right? And so the legitimate worry and care that they had, they were worrying, what is going to happen now? It's been 3 days through the desert. Can you imagine it was through the desert? There were no streams in the desert. And now it was actually 3 days now, and they don't have any water. Praise the Lord. And they're wondering, and they're saying, okay, what are we going to, why did the Lord have to part the Red Sea on our behalf? Why was this even the miracle that we just experienced in its significant? If God just killed our pursuers just to come and kill us here on the desert? Oh my goodness. And the Bible says that they got into a place called Marah. And I can see the excitement that was within the camp. They joyfully shouted up and lifted up their cry and shouts unto the Lord in jubilation when they saw the pool from afar. Ah, they rejoiced. They said, finally, God has remembered us. After these 3 days, we were just going to die with our children, and we were going to die and just, we will become history. But they are seeing on the mirage, they are seeing this pool. But by the time they get there, with all these high hopes and rejoicing, they are dipping their hands to drink from the pool, and they realize that these waters were bitter. How many of you have been in such a situation when you thought, you know, after all this that I've been through, there seemed now finally to be a friend who is just about to help me. There seemed now to be a divine connection, just to discover it was a fake. Just to discover that the Lord was leading me through some things that I needed to understand what he was doing with my life. I experienced this, and I have told you before, when I was planning to come to America, going through the embassy, I would go to the embassy and I would pay a lot of money, and they would check my documents out, and they would say, you don't qualify. And I would go back again, and I would pray, and I would go get back again, and I would go back several times. They would cancel my application to come to the United States. And a time came when I was so desperate, and I said, you know what? I think since when this desire has been self-inflicted, and I said, you know what? In my mind, actually, it framed in my mind that I will never step into the United States. Because there's no way I can go pray and fast for this long, and every single time I go up there, my application is canceled together with my family. And it got, and I had now other options, and I decided, you know what, America. And I actually started now thinking, you know, what is America? You know, praise the Lord. Thank you, son. What is America? Why am I so worried about going to this land that I always hear? And I started having other plans to go to a different country. And I made plans, and I went to that country in South Africa, made applications to go to a school, and everything seemed to work. But just when I thought, you know what, I had found the real thing that I wanted, because I badly needed to get out of Kenya. Just when everything seemed now to work, I waited for this reply from the South African school. I waited and waited and waited. It never came. And I said, God, what is all this? And finally, that's when the Lord began to speak into my spirit, that I needed to wait on him consistently. That I needed not to give up. I needed not to waver. Let me tell you guys, there was a nearby Full Gospel Church. I can even see it mentally right now. I used to wake up every 5 in the morning for many months with other brothers going to intercede and pray. But that was my agenda. But you know what? The Lord never disappointed me. At one point when we were at the last of our last, you know, we didn't have any other option. Went to some men of God. They told me I had to bribe them so that they could give me an access to the consulate. After everything had been done and said, the Lord in his majesty came and helped and delivered us. My God. And when I saw that congratulatory letter, Julius, inviting me to the United States of America, without any struggle, I just fell on my knees and said, God, you are the all and the finish of all things. And help me, Lord, so that this will be a memorial. So that whenever I encounter a thing, let me tell you, church, today when I encounter circumstances, I'm able to remember what happened those days. And I have this confidence that it doesn't matter the enormity or the size of my problem. I know God is going to solve it out for me. I think what God intends is that we may have a relationship that is so intact, a daily relationship with God, so that when we know the sound of his voice, we cannot be shaken. God wants us to have a relationship with the cross of Jesus Christ, to know that he has delivered us from it, from the quagmire of sin, and that we have now a brand new relationship with him, and he wants us to grow that relationship. God wants us to get us deeper into himself. I thank God, because we've been studying about the Holy Spirit, and I'll begin to bring that. I'm planning to bring that, to teach that, the topic of the Holy Spirit, to us again here in the church. And the Bible says that the Spirit of God knows the heart of God. When we are in tune with the Holy Ghost, he is able to get into the heart of God. He is able to understand the things that concern our lives. And he is able to get into the heart of God and fish those solutions out on our behalf. The thing is, we have to be in the relationship, with a strong relationship with the Holy Spirit. God wants us to develop a relationship with him, so that no matter what happens in your life, you know inside the thing that tells you that you know, that without any shadow of doubt, I know God is going to come through. No matter how the size of my problem, Your bank account might be reading zero today. And you know that you have an obligation to pay your bills every month. But God that I trust will never fail you. If we consistently trust upon him, he will come through. My God, he will come through for you. Praise be to God. I may not be speaking to many people, but I may be speaking to some people here. You are going through circumstances that when you look at the circumstances, you've tried to dissect the situation. You've tried to check it out. You've tried even to make phone calls. You've tried even to connect yourself with other people who might bring a solution to your life, and it has hit a hard rock. God knows about it. He is the one who guides you into that position where you are not able to work it out with your own strength. Glory be to Jesus. Many times, I have to confess my sins here. Many times when I'm encountered with a quagmire, I am a human being, and many times I feel like I want to crisscross to the human who I am, and sometimes I'm going on the other side to trust God. How many of you can identify with what I'm saying? You are in a situation and you feel, oh God, I don't know what to do. And you're jumping into your humanity and you're using your limited mind to work it out. And that's when you're frustrated. And the moment you're frustrated, you realize, I cannot do it by myself. And then you jump into the Lord and he is telling you, God, without you, you cannot help me. And you're waiting and waiting and waiting. And when it seems that it has taken too long, you crisscross again into your own humanity. Frustrated, you jump again on this side. Are you listening to me? Happens to me just about 2 weeks ago. I called Tony. I think Tony knows about it. I really needed, like, now. Other people say, like, yesterday. I needed really, really some money to pay somebody. Money that I needed. God, I had some transactions that the money would be available in a day or two. And I really needed quite a large chunk of money. And I didn't know what to do. Let me tell you, I am blessed to have Catherine to be my wife. Because Catherine's faith is, oh my God, I don't even know that woman. Because she can trust God out of nothing. It doesn't make any sense to me. But she can say, you know what, I'm still trusting God. I'm still trusting God. And she say, while she's saying that, I'm saying, this does not make any sense. What are you trusting God? Or what, where? How? Where? And we are tiring, and the clock is ticking when I'm supposed to deposit this money. And I'm saying, God, and you know what? I went into my kitchen table. The children are in school, so Joshua doesn't understand because he's the one at home. And I put my hand like this. And I prayed in my vernacular, and I said, Vafa, gai wa matuine. Le wa digane liyo menye noe noa shono kakai. And Catherine found me in that situation, and she told me, and she tells me, what are you saying? Has not God delivered us even in bigger things like this? Let me tell you, church, listen. I am speaking as, you know, I'm telling you this as long as the Lord lives, he knows this is true. Catherine came and told me, you know what, I just remembered some things that I forgot that I was supposed to process. Some money that was somewhere we were supposed to process, because we know we do, you know, dispatch, like do, like send my truck and send it out. I forgot about some bills that were supposed to be processed. And guess what? It was equivalent to the money that I needed at that particular point. 30 minutes before the banks closed, my God. I said, I told God, I don't want to see you. I want to depart from your presence, Lord. I'm a sinful man. How can I not believe in you, Lord? And I felt like Peter, when Peter told him, when Jesus told Peter to cast his nets into this sand, Peter said, you know what? Lord, I've told throughout the night, doesn't make any sense. I'm a fisherman. I know where we get a lot of fish. And now you're telling me to put it here on the shallows? Lord, it doesn't really make any fishermanly wisdom for me to do it. But he said, at your word, I will do it. And the guy just thrust his nets, and they could not even pull the amount of fish from the fish. What am I saying? That the Lord leads you into those situations to test us. And when you think that, you know, you're coming to the end of yourself, it is not yet done until the Lord says it is done. If God has intended for that door to be kept open, it shall be open. Let me tell you, Sister Wanja, if the Lord wants that door to be open, it will be open. It doesn't matter the circumstances. It doesn't matter the physicality, what you're looking at. It doesn't matter what you're thinking at that moment. It doesn't matter even whether you're jumping into your humanity and jumping into the supernatural, jumping into the humanity and jumping into the supernatural, the door will keep open. I'm speaking to somebody here. The door will keep open. But if the Lord has destined to close that door, trust me, no matter how you try to pray and fast, that door will be closed. But you know what? It is being closing because the Lord loves you so much. He is closing it because he knows that if you get through that door, it is going to destroy you. It is going to kill you. It is going to rob you of the vitality that he has deposited in your life. So he looks at you and he says, you know what, William? I can see your future. And I can see where you're going because I hold the blueprint of your life in my palms. And I see now you're not heeding to my voice. I will close that door where you're heading to. And you get on there and you're trying to bang on the door. Hey, come on, this door open. Let me open, open. But the door has been closed. Because in our own limited mind, we may not see the danger that lies ahead. But God sees the danger. And if the Lord, it's the Lord's business too. It is the Lord's business to go in front of you, to go on your side, to go on your rear, to protect and to shield you. Because there is a seal that identifies. He looks at the seal and he says, Ben, this is my child. How can I let my child suffer? How can I let this one is mine? This one has a title. He belongs to me. I cannot allow him to suffer. You listening to me, somebody? He will not let his servants to suffer. He will lead you into things that are beneficial to you. So the cloud, the pillar of cloud will guide and lead you. The fire will lead you by night. I believe that the fire, even in the desert, which is very cold at night, offered heat and direction even at night. The fire of God will get into your dark places when you feel that you've come to the end of yourself. The pillar of fire, even though you may not see it with your physical eyes, the pillar of fire is there. And God in your misery will find his way and get hold of your hand and pull you out of your misery. Glory be to Jesus. That's why I cannot laugh at anybody. I will never point my finger at a child of God because he might be at that moment where the Bible says the righteous may fall 7 times, but in every single one of those times they will be lifted up and the glory of God will be manifested into their life. Don't laugh at me when I'm down, because the next time you see me, I'll be soaring up like an eagle. Do not let anybody put you down, because at that moment when they put you down, God is working some things on your behalf. God is orchestrating things in the spiritual. God is causing angels to come for your aid. Are you listening to me? And so they come into Marah. Everything around Marah was bitter. The soil was bitter. I read, some theologians think even the trees and everything around Marah was bitter. And so when they drink this water, they could not understand what was happening. And the Bible says that they started to grumble against Moses. Grumbling and complaining and murmuring is a dangerous area to be in. It shows your ungratefulness. It shows your distrust to the one who created you, the one who has made you stand until this point, the one who has neutralized the darts of the enemy concerning your life, because there has been many assaults that have been mooted from the kingdom of the devil towards your life. But every single moment, even though you may not feel it, even though you may not see it, God has neutralized the darts of the enemy on your behalf. Sickness have been sent to your children, but God has neutralized and brought healing to your children. You know what? The professors meant to fail you in the subjects that you are doing, but the angel of God visited the professor at night and told him, you cannot fail that one. That one, you cannot even dare joke there with them. Oh, Shandereba, so you cannot touch that one. She is my child. I had a testimony of a dear sister that we were praying for. She is not a member of our church, but she gave us a testimony of how the professors looked at their papers. There were five of them, trusting God, believing the children of God in that classrooms, and the professor purposely failed them while pursuing their nursing career. Most of you know how hard it is to pursue the nursing degree. It takes all your energy, sucks all your strength up, and robs you of your fellowship, your family. And a professor dares come to fail you. Let me tell you, some people, I don't know from where, just filed a lawsuit concerning this professor. And this lady, when she was speaking to us with my wife, I remember we went to visit her. She was in agony. She was saying, "Pastor, I can't believe I gave my all. I am not stupid. I'm not dumb. But this professor just looked at us and hated us." And we prayed a prayer, and I prayed and I said, "God, you say that you shall secure your children even in times of turmoil. You will fight for them. You are our defender. You lift our heads, oh God, in times of trouble. Father God, you told us that the righteous shall live by faith." And we prayed a prayer. And I know other believers prayed for this sister. But finally, she called us the other day. She told us, no, guess what? The court ordered that school, particularly that professor, to redo an exam that it will be adjudicated, it will be supervised by other professors. And guess what? All of them five have passed their examination. They have now been qualified, and they are now legitimate nurses. Talk about trusting God. Even when you think that you are dead, when you think that you are nothing, when you think that you have come to the end of yourself, when they have signed the report that you know you don't qualify, that is not the end. That is not the end, child of God. But God has the last word concerning your life. And God speaks to Moses, and he tells him, go uproot a tree and throw it into the water, and the water will become sweet. While they are still, see how much God loves us? That even when we crumble, let me tell you guys, whether you complain or you don't complain, that doesn't change the nature of God. And it really doesn't change your love towards you. You know? His love is consistent. Now, that doesn't give you a guarantee to go and being unfaithful to him, because also the Bible says that I delight in those who delight in me. There is a difference between delighting and loving. God consistently loves us, but he delights in those who delight in himself. So if you delight on the Lord on a consistent basis, then that means, therefore, that he will delight in you. That means he will show you some favorable things along the way just because you delight in God. But that does not change his love concerning you. So in their grumbling, God speaks to Moses and he tells him, you know what? Uproot a tree. Throw it into the water. I don't know where you heard a tree just that you can throw a tree into salty water and purifies it. I know there's a system that they do to take the seawater to remove the salt, but that's not exactly what they did. He was to just throw a tree into the water, and the water will become sweet. And immediately, the water became sweet. And so when it became sweet, the children of Israel went and supped into their water, and they started drinking. And you know what? The Spirit of God was telling me that, you know what? That you have to take the relationship with the tree, which is the tree that we know of. The tree that hang on Calvary. That the condition of Mara was a representative of what they were going through. Experiences, and you can speak in the tongues of angels. You can even give your alms to the poor. You can even do all kinds of love, but without love, it is all useless. Without a relationship with the cross of Jesus. It is only at the foot of the cross, church, listen to me. It is only at the foot of the cross that the internal issues are able to be brought to a resolution. They just 72 hours away, they just experienced one of the enigmatic miracles there has ever been in the world. The separating of the sea. 72 hours away. Can you think about this? How we human really, surely, We really need God to help us. 72 hours, they just witnessed the greatest miracle that has ever been experienced at that time in the world. And now, 72 hours later, they're grumbling against Moses. Oh, why did you bring us out of here? And the Lord was telling me that no matter how we try to work it out with our own strength, we are going to fail. We are going to fail when you trust. Cursed is the man who trusts upon his own understanding. Cursed is the man who puts his trust on other people's, ability. But blessed is the man who knows that, you know what, I can't make it without God. Are you listening to me? It is by the strength of God that I'll be able to achieve my goals. That it is by the strength of the Lord that I'll be able to achieve my endeavors. It is by the strength of the Lord that He'll be able to come invite Him in my mind and cause my mind to explode so I can do greater things that are bigger than me. It is not by our own strength. Our own strength will lead you up to a certain point, and at that point you can't go anywhere. Are you listening to me? God wants us to depend upon Him. And He put the tree and the water, a type of the cross that we need to submit ourselves on the foot of the cross. God, without you, I can't do it. Lord, teach me how to be a better pastor. That has been my prayer. Teach me how to be a better daddy. Teach me how to be a better whoever, God, you've caused me to be on this universe. Teach me to be a better person. Teach me to be a better counselor. Teach me to be a better mom. Teach me to be a better child. Teach me to be a better student. Teach me to be a man who is a carrier of your presence. Teach me, Lord, teach me. And let me tell you, God will teach you when you completely surrender in His presence. God will completely teach you how you can trust Him. God will completely teach you how you can completely yield your life to Him so that He can guide you. Our eyes see better things. Our ears hear good things. But the Bible says that the things that are prepared for the righteous, no eye has ever seen. No ear has ever heard. And the Bible says in Jeremiah 33, in verse number 3, that, you know, you will seek me and I will teach you things that you do not know. That means there's things that we need to be knowing, William, that we do not know, but they will only come when we begin to seek the face of the Lord. Church, I want to put it across to you this day. Make it, can you begin today? If you never started in the morning, I wake up in the morning, early in the morning, sometimes at 5 or 4:30. Because of the agony that the Lord sometimes speaks to me throughout the night, and I'm having these visions and God is speaking me through these dreams and certain things concerning people. And when I have these things, I am in anguish. I cannot sleep. And I wake up and I rise and I go into my closet and I begin to commune with my daddy. And I tell him certain things that I want him to do. Are you listening to me? If you have never done it, you can begin 5 minutes. Every single morning before you go to work, when you arise, create some place. It could be maybe in your bathroom. If you don't want to wake up your children, create some place where you can identify with your altar, some place in your room. Go kneel down and talk to your father. Sanctify the area. Sanctify the atmosphere. Let me tell you, the destinies of our children are in our hands. When I wake up in the morning, I declare, I command my morning. Thank you, Jesus. I remembered about this. I command my morning. I declare that you this day, listen to me this day. I am not going to be confused and I'm not going to be cheated by people that I meet with today. People are going to be kind to me. I am not going to experience any accident. In the name of Jesus, my children will focus in school. They will not even be cheated or bullied by other children. You declare things concerning your life, and let me tell you, it works. I'm telling you, it works. Begin to declare things and command your morning. Because let me tell you, if we fail to do that, there are things that are destined. You think the kingdom of the enemy is not organized? Do you think that the enemy is not really organized? He is organized. And therefore, he knows particular people that he is going to, you know, there is a short list that, you know, today we are going to attack. I mean, not my name. Okay, look at me. Let me see the person who the devil plans to attack. Every one of you, you're on the short list of the enemy. Today, okay, you demon so-and-so, you're going to go into the home of Tony. You're going to destroy You demon so-and-so, you're going to, I'm sending you into I-75. When you see the forerunner of Julius or his Mercedes passing here, I want you to set a trap. You demon, hey, the last wife, what did you do yesterday? I want you to go to one boy's house, confuse her, so that she will not even understand what she's doing that day. So if you don't take a stand and cancel those assaults of the enemy, who do you think is going to do it on your behalf? You know what? Your pastor does it for you. I do it, but you know what? You also need to do it for yourself. Because I cannot mention every one of you in the morning. I've got things to do, people to see, places to go. No, by the way, see, these are not true. I wish I have 2 hours to pray for every one of you. God, I command Purity's there. I command Mrs. Morgan's there. And I try to do that. But sometimes I feel, okay, now I think I've commanded the lives of the people God gave me. So if you don't command your day, and if somebody never remembered you, guess what? You'll be frustrated throughout the day. You'll be trying to do things and you're stagnated just because you're under assault. Command your day. The words of your lips are like fire. Are you listening to me? Because, we are children of God. If we are children of God, we have the DNA of God. And if the Bible speaks that the words of Jesus' mouth are like fire, then the words that come out of your mouth are like fire. When you say, my children, this day will be successful. My children, this day will focus. My children will get A's. I refuse for my children to be discriminated against. I dismantle the networks of the enemy. I command you this day. You shall. Did you know, John, by the way, God in the Bible, there's a place where God told him, he was actually admonishing Job when he complained before the Lord. He told him, who have you ever commanded your morning so that the dew would come together? Do you remember that portion of the scripture? That means that God has given us the ability as children of God to command things and they'll be able to happen. You know, if you have a business, you command that something come. God, I command that my business will be successful. I command that my career will not stagnate. I command my children will not be kichwangumu. I command that there will be discipline. I command that my wife will not nag. I command my husband will bring. I command whatever you want your husband to be. Command him. Even when he's asleep, lay your hands. But don't shout. Don't open up your mouth because he might wake up slapping you. Say, God, I command in the name of Jesus. And it will be done. Those will still be words, okay? We have to be wise. So God, he threw the tree into the water, and the water was healed. And you know what? As I finish, the Lord made an ordination, and he said, this day, if you can obey my commands, if you follow everything that I've commanded you to do, read that there below. That's what the Bible says. That I will not bring the diseases that I brought to the Egyptians. You know what? God did to Mara quite the opposite of what he did in Egypt. In other words, God caused the elements. He distorted the elements to bring disaster into the camp of the Egyptians. He caused water into blood, right? But here, God heals the water. So in other words, he tells them, he is leading them slowly by slowly. He is leading them to tell them, if only you can know that I am interested with a relationship. If you can be interested in the relationship, I am telling you that the condition is that the problems is, you know, I know why I'm leading. I'm testing you because I want you to know that if you can have a relationship with me, if you can have a relationship with me, because Mara represents the condition of your heart. And now that I brought the cross, even though they may not have understood about the cross, I put in the cross to heal the water. And the immediate place where the cloud led them was into a pool of 12 streams and 70 trees. And the Bible says that there they camped. Praise be to God. So don't be discouraged, child of God, that even though you're going through a hard time right now, there is something that God is interested to pull out of your life. God is in the business of preparing you for greater things. God doesn't want us to just settle in the status quo. Oh, yes, I heard a bishop T.D. Jakes saying that if you're just used to the status quo and the things that are just okay with you, that fit you, then you know what? Those things, God will cause only those things to sustain you. But if you can trust trust. God wants us to have bigger things, bigger than ourselves. Like David handled Goliath. Praise be to God. Whenever we obey the word of the Lord, if we can enhance our relationship with God, God wants us to have something that is bigger than ourselves so that we can start supporting the work of the ministry, so that we can start paying off our debts, so that we can start doing things, greater things that are beyond us. Are you listening to me? But as long as we are just in a status quo, okay, you'll never miss a meal. God will give you your meal every day. He will be able to pay for your rent. You'll be able to go about, and it is a cycle. Have you realized? It is a cycle. I pay my bills on the 4th. I pay my house on the 4th. I pay my what else? My car note if you have one, or you pay your that seat that you bought in room store. You pay it on the 5th of every month, and then the groceries, those kitchen cutlery that you took on a sale in less for whatever it is, that store, you pay them on the 6th, and it is a cycle. But God wants us to go beyond. How are we going to reach out to this community? We need the money. But you know what? When you ask for the money, you may not have the money. Because the only money you have, in fact, I feel so sorry for us, because if I ask you for extra money, you may not really be able to sustain yourself. But if we can go higher so that we can trust God for bigger things, you'll be having greater expectation and greater resources, so that when I ask you, okay, we want to reach out this community, can we give up $100? Oh, it will not be a problem. You know, we'll be able to give the $100. But when we are living within a sustenance mode, I'll be asking for $100, and some of us will be in tears. Oh, eloy, namasate kare habiri akwanaki, shika tu pastor. I'll never see it again. Because that is what you're targeted to pay that credit, that bill. So we need to go up and above what we have so that we can be able to what? To support the ministry, right? Support those that I need, isn't it? Am I making sense to us? Stand up on your feet. We must conclude. Amen. Praise God. I love you guys. And we are going somewhere. You know, what we need to do is, what God values most is a relationship. That's my point I was trying to drive. He is interested in a relationship. The preacher last Sunday, I think was it last Sunday, he told us about, I am so tired of a visitation. Lord, I now want a habitation. I'm interested in the habitation of the presence of God in my life. And you know what? It doesn't take much. If you have not been doing it, start practicing for 5 minutes. Pray. The next time you realize that you're praying for 10, the next time you know, the moment you get yourself in your foot inside it, then you begin to realize, oh, now I think I need to go to Bible study. You didn't have any interest. And by the way, I'm not even blaming you. It's because, you know, we are so engrossed in so many things that one bottoms out your list, you know. But the moment you have a relationship, the Spirit of God is able to draw into the heart of God things that you need in your life. Things that will cultivate and enhance that relationship. The Bible says that we must work our salvation in fear and trembling. We, you. It is not the board of the church. It is not even a bishop or any evangelist that is going to help you. It is us. But you know what? First things first. If you've not been doing it, just start to do tomorrow. When you wake up in the morning, before you go to bed, how many husbands do you have in the house here? Or mothers who have children, lift up your hand right now. Praise be to God. You know what, guys? Listen to me. Every single day, and I'm not saying this, you know, for you to think that we are most holy or nothing. In fact, we just need God, maybe more than you guys need Him. I'm desperate for God. But listen, we've made it a habit that we read the Word of God before we go to bed. Ron can tell you. We have a little Bible study, 5-10 minutes. I challenge all the fathers here. Call your family together. If there's no father in your house, there's a mother. Could be a single parent. Just call your kids together whenever you are. If you're able to be with them before you retire for bed, or whatever time you have to meet with them before you go to work, if you work at night, even if it's 5 minutes, open up the Word of God and share the Scripture with them. Pray together. Hold hands together. Pray. that will take you miles far, far, far away. And it will take you into enhancing the relationship with Jesus. Praise God. The Word of God is active and alive. It is like a hammer that shatters a rock into pieces. We need our children to see us reading the Word of God. We need the children of God. Involve them in the discussion. Let them also participate in the discussion. You can have a mini Bible study anytime in your house. Pray together. When was the last time you prayed together with your wife, holding hands, even before you go to work, or hold hands with your child before they go to school? Lay your hands on them. Declare the works of God. Command their morning. They may not know anything, but declare that they will be successful. And let me tell you, you may not see that change right now, but down the road, something will be at work. In the name of Jesus, lift up your right hand before the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, we bless you. You are most holy, you are most righteous, God. We completely yield ourselves unto you. And we know that you are at work, Lord, in this house. Father, you say that this house shall be called the house of prayer. Is it so interesting, God, that when you chased out the thieves and the robbers and the people who are doing business in the house of God, that the moment you healed somebody, you called somebody and you healed them in the temple at that very hour? Father, we cannot bring any other business in the house of God other than to come and intercede and pray and ask you to be involved in our affairs. Lord, you reminded us that, Father, at the foot of the cross is where it all begins. That at the foot of the cross we can surrender and yield our lives completely. And that, Father God, in our weakness, Father God, your strength shows perfect. Yes, when we are weak, we are the right candidates of your manifestation of your power. And therefore, God, I pray that we shall be weak, oh God. Weak in your presence so that your strength may perfectly be displayed. In the name of Jesus, I pray for these children. I pray that God, my God, that the word that they have listened here today, Father God, it will be stored and land on a fertile ground. In the name of Jesus, let this word be established in their hearts, Lord, so that it may also establish them in yourself. Lord, I command that they are weak, oh God. In the name of Jesus, I declare that their weak will be strong. I cancel every attacks of the enemy. I annihilate all the devices of the devil. Every plan I cancel. I cancel every assault of the devil. In the name of Jesus. Any list that they have been shortlisted on, I erase it in the name of Jesus. And on their return, Lord, I speak a Deuteronomy 28 blessing over their lives. In the name of Jesus. I declare they will be the head and not be the tails. The blessings of Abraham will accompany them, will accompany their children, will accompany the men, will accompany their wives in the name of Jesus. Oh God, may your rain fall upon their lives in the name of Jesus. Give them clear insight of where you want them to go in the name of Jesus. Even as a mother chicken gathers her chick, I pray that you shall gather them and sound a warning cry when the eagle is just about to take them up. In the name of Jesus, no devil, no demon, no scorpion, Father, shall have a power over their lives. But they shall instead step on the snakes and those scorpions, and nothing shall by any means hurt them. In the name of Jesus, I speak a blessing over their lives. Expand those that are in their businesses. Expand their careers, oh God. I call on finances, oh God. Yes, to explode into their lives. In the name of Jesus, those that are going through financial crisis, I pray that you shall come through for us in the name of Jesus, so that we can have much higher and above what we need, so that we can support the work of the ministry. Thank you, Jesus. You brought us here in Dallas for one reason, to have fellowship with you and to be a blessing to somebody else. In the name of Jesus, minister to them in a special way. Father, if there be anyone who among us who is sick, I declare your healing power over their body in the name of Jesus. The Bible tells me you sent your word to heal all our diseases. I declare every sickness healed in the name of Jesus.
to the glory and honor of your name. Being in that mood of prayer, you might be in this house, never given your life to Jesus. Receiving Jesus is very easy. The Bible says if you believe in your heart that he died on the cross and he ascended and seated on the right hand side of the Father, if only believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, then you're born again. Would you like to receive Jesus? You've never given your life to Jesus. I would like to invite you to receive him, and he will be your Lord and Savior. Lift up your hand. I want to see that hand. Is there anyone here? In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said amen. Amen. Give Jesus a mighty hand clap of thanks.